there, my friend, and welcome to the Ayurveda and Psychology podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk in nature, maybe. Enjoy. In this episode that focuses on Ayurveda, I want to bring the secret knowledge of what breath can do to us into the focus. I've been talking quite a bit about the lymphatic system, and this brings me naturally, actually, to our breath and the role of our breath in health. We know, of course, that breath is essential to our survival. We can go for up to 3 weeks without food, for 3 days without water, but not much more than a minute or so without breathing. The first thing that happens when we come into this world is that our lungs open up for breathing, are filled with oxygen, and that usually translates into a scream. When we are scared or when we are excited, we sometimes forget to breathe. If we start focusing on the fact that we are breathing, we might even start to feel a bit strange because we realize that we're always breathing. But are we doing it intentionally, or does it just happen by itself? Some people find it easier to hold their breath, so to hold the inhale for a long time. And other people find it easier to hold the suspension, so pushing all the air out and then suspending for a longer time. And the curious thing about breath is that it is actually intentional, and it is not. It can be both. It is the one function that we have that can be voluntary as well as it is actually involuntary. It is therefore the link between our two worlds, I want to say. The one where we are doing things and that we are aware of what we're doing, and then the other, which feels more mystical, this other side of our being where things seems to happen to us instead, like the heart beating, for instance, or that detoxification process that constantly is happening in our liver, for instance. So because our breath has this magical aspect to it, the ancient yogis understood that it was really the key to our health. When the involuntary world, the inside of us, is not in balance, we can make voluntary changes through our breath to affect the involuntary. Yes, we can actually affect the involuntary functions with the breath. Actually, we control very much of our nervous response in the nervous system through the breath. If we can control the nervous response, we can control our emotions through that tool that the breath is as well. This is naturally, therefore, the reason that breathing plays such a central role in the yogic practices let's keep in mind that yoga is the path to self-realization. Where your attention goes, your energy flows. Right? Many of us have probably heard that statement before. And the statement works for the inside of the body, but also for the outside of the body. When it comes to the outside of the body, I don't think I need to remind anyone that if we don't actually bring our focus towards the task, we will not really do anything with that task. It's like that corner of the house, right? That we just don't really want to deal with, that pile of stuff that we just don't want to focus on. And actually nothing will happen to it unless we do it, right? It's as simple as that. Sometimes it makes me think of that. I don't know if people still do that these days, but that little, you know, basket or whatever it might be, a small bowl of some kind that you might have in the entrance of a house that just collects stuff, like keys that you don't know which door they don't go to anymore. Or that pen that doesn't work, but you just don't throw away. This, that, and the other. Bills that you've had there, you know, the receipt from something from 3 years ago, right? And you just don't bring your attention towards it because you can't be bothered. And so naturally nothing happens, right? Just as a side note, it's very obvious to see on the outside of us how this is true. Where your attention goes, your energy flows. For the ancient yogis and the Ayurvedic practitioners, breath is directly linked to the pranic body, the energy body. And so the secret, if I can say, of the yogis' powers is that breathing happens to regulate the flow of the energy inside of us. Where there is no blockage, nothing can get stuck. Disease cannot happen if there's no blockage because nothing gets stuck there. The very first thing that gets stuck is prana, is energy. It's the movement inside of us. We can feel our body being alive thanks to the existence of prana inside. And we can very much feel just how much we are alive when the energy or the prana is flowing freely. When there are blockages, we might notice that through actually lack of feeling alive, or let's call it numbness. Many experience actually numbness in the hips or in the legs and the feet. And some of like your small toes, for instance, you might not even feel them. It might also feel as if there's no possibility to move them, for instance. And that happens, of course, very much due to the fact that, you know, no surprise, we sit still a big part of the day, which is not at all what we're supposed to be doing with that kind of body we have. Another part of the body experiencing blockages of energy or prana is often the neck and the shoulders. Blockages means reduced space, right? Reduced space for the energy to flow, and so therefore increased tension instead. Reducing space, tension is increased. Tension happens when there is contraction. Now, contractions that are going on inside of our bodies, well, actually, we make them happen, even though it doesn't feel at all as if we are. And so actually, the healing part of the yoga asanas, for instance, the yoga poses, is that we put our body into position, especially into positions that we don't usually take. So it's not part of our patterns of movement. So we put the body in positions that we don't have the habit of being in, and that brings the tensions to the surface. Then we hold that position for a longer time, and we bring the attention to these tensions, and we begin to regulate our breath while we are in the pose. And as if by magic, after a little bit, the tensions begin to release and space is created so that the energy can flow in there. We can even just do an experience of that right now. If you are, of course, somewhere where this is possible, or you can just stop the episode and come back to it when you are, or continue listen if you want to and just skip it altogether. Obviously, you're completely free to do whichever you prefer. One of the most challenging things for many, especially if you don't have a regular yoga practice, is to sit with your legs stretched out straight in front of you and fold forward, right? A seated forward fold, Paschimottanasana. And give that a try, and you might not be able to reach to your toes with your hands, and you might be able to go to your knees maybe with your hands, or you might even be able to do that, and that's perfectly fine. It doesn't matter. You're not doing this as a performance, right? So don't push yourself into it and you haven't warmed up or anything like that. So wherever you're at, it might even be you're sitting completely straight with your back almost and you can't do anything more. That's perfectly fine too. I'm just wanting you to experience the what's to follow, okay? Once you're seated, close your eyes and begin to observe where in the body you notice the effect of how you're sitting. What I mean by that is you might begin to feel tension or stretching sensations or even slightly pain. Obviously, I do not want you to feel strong pain or sharp pain, for instance. In that case, come out of it, okay? It might be behind the knees, in the hamstrings, the lower back, or in between the shoulders even. It doesn't really matter where you feel it. But bring your full attention towards that spot and then begin to breathe more deeply. Breathe only through your nose and see if you can bring the focus more specifically to the exhalation so that your goal with that focus would be to deepen the exhalation more than focusing on the inhalation. So the inhalation might just come naturally and then you focus on slowly, 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 making that exhalation a little bit longer every time you breathe. And first and foremost, you will notice that your breath is actually very uneven, right? That's perfectly normal because we don't pay attention to our breath very much in the day. So when you focus on it, automatically it starts to even out. Now, when you've noticed that that begins to happen, it also becomes easier to lengthen the out-breath. It kind of happens automatically. And when that starts to happen, you might notice just a little bit of a relaxation happening, kind of as an all-over thing. And you might have forgotten about the tension that you were focusing on in the body. So if that happened, that's okay. Just bring the focus back towards it again. And now that it's been about a minute or so, you might notice that the sensation of that tension, of the stretch or whatever it feels like, has changed just a little. Of course, depending on where you are at with the tensions in your body, this modification of the stretch might be very subtle. You might even not notice much, or it might not be subtle at all. You might have noticed a huge change here. A simple rule to remember. When we experience pain, we contract. When we experience pleasure, we release, we open up. So imagine that your body is a blueprint of your life and that all existing tension are moments of pain from the past still with you. Now let's call pain something different, so that it makes more sense. the risk of pain or the apprehension of pain is already enough for the body to make a contraction. When you think about something that causes pain, you automatically contract. So the contractions existing might not even have been caused by an actual pain, but merely the potential of it. If you are still with me on the experiencing of this, let's try another experiment. So you can come out of the forward fold if you were still in it, and you might just sit, and that can be, you know, sitting cross-legged, for instance, if that's comfortable, or just sitting on a chair. Even better if you can, if you have that potential, if your hips allow you to, sit in a yogic squat. If you're not sure of what that is, it is basically the outdoors pooping position, the outdoors pooping squatting. But you need to be able to relax. So if that is a little bit too much for you to stay in for a minute or so, maybe skip that one or sit on it, but sitting on something, right? Letting your hips rest on something. I am so grateful that you have chosen to give me some time of your day to listen to this episode. Now, this is all done on my free time. There's no money involved in this podcast. So if you would like to support me somehow, I would love for that to happen. And you could do that by simply rating and reviewing. So what that means is that if you're listening on Apple Podcast, you can simply give me 5 stars review and you can give me a commentary. Obviously, if you feel that it deserves it. Once again, thank you so much and enjoy the listening. Whichever position that you are in, allow for your abdomen to stretch out so that you're not kind of folding forward in any way, like or rounding your back too much. Sit up straight. Take a deep inhale where you allow for your abdomen to really expand, but all the way down into the lower abdomen too. Imagine that the inhale is a balloon that you have in the belly, and imagine that as you inhale, it expands and it's therefore pressing onto your pelvic floor more and more. If you notice that happening, you might become aware of the muscles in that region and what they are doing right now. More often than not, actually, they're contracted when they don't need to be and without us being aware of it. Actually, when we are potty trained as small children, we learn to contract those muscles, the muscles in our anus and the pelvic region and so on command. And this can absolutely lead to a tendency to contract those muscles in moments when we feel a need to, well, control later on in life. And when do we feel that we need to control? Well, usually when it feels like nothing is under control. So when we feel maybe powerless or helpless, or simply when we feel stressed. When we feel stressed, it's because we evaluate that the external conditions or the external stress factor is above what we can handle. Therefore, we feel powerless or helpless. Now, if you would set the timer, right, on your phone or something for 1 minute, and then use that time to do exactly what we just did, sitting somewhere comfortably, taking inhales where you expand the belly and that you imagine this to be a balloon situated in the abdomen that presses the pelvic floor downwards the more it expands, so the more you inhale. And then just let the exhale happen quite naturally without any specific focus, you will begin to notice other things happening. Not only will the breath even out progressively, you will also deepen the exhale without even trying. And the reason for that is when you inhale, you are activating the sympathetic nervous system, which means the fight or flight, the active mode. And when you exhale, you are activating the parasympathetic nervous system, the relaxing, the passive mode, or the rest and digest. The more attention is focused on the breathing itself, the more the nervous system relaxes. And so naturally, the rest and digest response becomes stronger and longer. When that has started, you will notice an overall ease in the body, and actually we call that just relaxation. But more than this, you will notice that you might resist the relaxing of the muscles in the pelvic floor, and the more they give into the relaxation, the more emotions might come to the surface. And that can be emotions of joy, but it can actually also be emotions of fear. Just like trauma gets stuck in the body and then begins to process when we bring it to the surface, as we speak about it, for instance. So do tensions created earlier on in life. Potentially, we could sit and just breathe for a long moment, observing where in the body there are tensions, and progressively focus our attention towards them. Every time we find a tension, we focus our attention on it, and we come back to breathing. We might even begin to imagine that we are breathing into the tension, allowing the inhale to bring energy into where the tension is, so the lack of energy there, and then the exhale to release the muscular tension. So then ponder on the idea that you would do that, let's say, for 10 minutes. It's going to change your mood entirely. Sometimes, when we're in a mood, and especially a mood that we don't want to be in, we tend to seek a way to change how we feel. Actually, we do this probably every hour of every day of the year. So just take the idea into consideration of a possibility that you could instead change your mood by just sitting down for 10 minutes in a comfortable position, closing your eyes and breathing deeply, starting without trying, and then simply focusing on where you notice tensions in the body, and progressively just notice how the breath deepens by itself. The more the breath deepens by itself, the more you relax. The more you relax, the more the breath deepens, and therefore when you go into the tensions, releases tensions more effectively. You release tensions, meaning you create space. And after a while, you're so spacious that you feel the whole body relaxed, comfortable, in ease, the nervous system completely in its rejuvenation mode. As simple as that is the healing power of the breath. The more we use intentionally our capacity of breathing in a way that is therapeutic, which means to support your system for rejuvenation, the more you're actually bringing health back into the system. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment. Send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time. Namaste.